Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Yogi-Special-Folge hier im In Good Health Podcast. Ich möchte mich erstmal sehr, sehr bedanken, dass die ersten beiden Folgen bei euch so gut angekommen sind. Und das ist für mich ein Format, das ich aus diesem Grund heraus mit dieser Motivation gerne weiter fortführen möchte. Wenn ihr hier Fragen habt, die sich rund um Ayurveda, Business oder Anatomie drehen, also meine Spezialgebiete im Bereich Yoga, dann meldet euch selbstverständlich sehr, sehr gerne bei mir. Und die letzten beiden Folgen habe ich ja quasi alleine einen Input gegeben. Heute sieht es ein bisschen anders aus. Heute habe ich einen speziellen Gast hier, der genau die Themen, die wir ja vor allem die ersten beiden Male besprochen haben, nochmal aus ihrer Expertise raus unterstützen kann. Und es wird ein wenig besonders heute sein, denn das Interview, was ich jetzt gleich führe, wird auf Englisch sein. Und zwar werde ich mit meinem Interviewgast darüber sprechen, wie es möglich ist, Yoga als Business für sich umzusetzen und sich damit auch wohlzufühlen, weil Hand aufs Herz, das tun die meisten von uns ja nicht so ganz. Und ich leite ja auch eine Mentorengruppe für Yogalehrerinnen, wo es darum geht, nachhaltig und gesund das Yoga-Business aufzubauen. Und da haben wir uns gerade letzte Woche auch sehr mit dem Thema beschäftigt, wie kann man Yoga als Business mit dem Aspekt, dass Yoga ein persönlicher Weg ist, eine Persönlichkeitsentwicklung, wie kann man das zusammenbringen und wie kann man sich darin auch wohlfühlen. Und deshalb freut es mich heute ganz besonders, da dieses geballte Wissen von Zoe mit euch teilen zu können. Und ich switche jetzt ins Englische, damit Zoe natürlich auch dabei ist. And hello and welcome, Zoe. I'm so glad you're here supporting us and all the yogis who are listening to that. On our mission.
Thank you very much for having me. Thanks for inviting me.
You're so welcome. Could you just introduce yourself pretty quick? I already said you're, you know, bringing together yoga and the business world, but it would be so great for us to hear a bit more what you're doing and what is your why behind that.
Sure. My name is Zoe Lavender Stewart. I'm originally from Britain, but I've been living in Zurich, Switzerland for 5 years. And I'm a yoga teacher, just like your fellow listeners and you. And I'm also a mindful business coach. My background before being a yoga teacher is actually from the corporate world. I spent 10 years in marketing communications, finance, product planning. So a big array of different business aspects. And over a year ago, I decided to leave the world of corporate behind. And I'm now working as a vinyasa and yin yoga teacher. And now I'm taking this on to apply my business experience to help what I'm calling really wellness professionals, but yoga teachers, health coaches, anyone who's kind of got a heartfelt, soulful or intentional business idea to bring their business to life. And what I like to call, like you said, a business mission, something that they feel will serve the world. And I definitely believe yoga is one of those things.
Oh, definitely. And I mean, we know each other for a few years now. Zoe and me, we used to go to the same yoga teacher and our paths were crossing, yeah, once in a while again and again. And I'm very happy to have her in my life. And she also helped me already a little bit with my business side of the yoga. I had a few coachings with her as well, which were very, very good. And as you just said, you know, it's a lot about mindfulness. Mm-hmm. And a few other words I want to pick up, you said, were when we have a heart-centered business, like mm-hmm. when we're yoga teachers or when we're somewhere in the wellness industry, we are not in there, you know, to have a huge career or shed a lot of money. There's always something else behind us which is driving us into this direction, and I would say a higher force even, which is driving us there. And in my opinion, I see this is quite a challenge for a lot of people, including me, to say, okay, yoga or any other profession in the wellness industry, this is something I do because I enjoy it. It's my personal path. I have the feeling I belong here. Yeah. That's the one side everybody sees or feels. And the other side is like, "Ooh, I have to gain money with that as well. It's a business as well." And I experienced that a lot of people have a big challenge to bring these two things together and get them, you know, balanced. What is your opinion on that?
I, from personal experience, completely relate. I mean, it's funny that I've come from a business background and I did a complete change in that I went to be a yoga teacher. And on a, let's say, an emotional and a mental level, you have to kind of have aspects of your work and aspects of your mind that in some places you don't feel that they overlap. But what you have to do, I believe, is to really come back always to your intention. Why is it that you want to do what you're doing? And then the second part of that is really an understanding that in order to share it with the world and to continue giving and sharing it with other people, the world that we live in requires us to earn money, and we need to be as financially stable as we can as teachers, as sharers, whatever it is we like to call ourselves. We have to be as financially stable as possible so that we can keep sharing for as long as we have something to share. That's kind of my fundamental attitudinal approach that I also had to, you know, retrain myself and work with other clients where there's a feeling that there's not an overlap. But if you have something to share and you have a mission and you want to share it with the world, which is amazing, you also need to be aware of the value that you're giving to the world and that it's okay to earn money from it. And then on the practical side, I often think of it as kind of three parts of your brain as a yoga teacher. You're a teacher, you're a student as of yoga itself, and you're also a business owner. Mm. And one thing I always advise clients and also try and replicate in my own practice, in my own life, is to have some discipline within your structured week, whether it's one or two classes that you go to per week as a student, where you try and let yourself go into the flow of the teachings. Mm-hmm. And then conversely, you have time set aside where you get out your finance spreadsheets or you go through your receipts or you look a little bit at your marketing plan. And you have to kind of have a little bit of this separation, but the intention is the thing that goes across the whole lot. And that's the reason you do what you do and you love what you do.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, so many wonderful and important things you just said. A few things I really want to emphasize. You said if we connect to our why, over and over again, this gives us kind of the strength to do what we want to do, right? The mission we have to really stick to our path we have chosen. And the other thing you said, and I think this is something very important we all should remember when we are getting in this kind of zone where we are not feeling comfortable for charging money for our yoga classes or for our services, that you said we have to be financially stable to be able to continue sharing what we want to share.
Yes.
I think this is huge.
Yes.
Huge sentence. So that we're not saying, oh, I want to have the money to kind of, you know, I don't know, buy luxury stuff or things like that. But this is just giving me the fuel to continue what I want to do, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So this kind of helps me already a little bit to kind of get it in the right perspective, saying, okay, just need that to be able to share what I want to share.
Yes, and I think the connection with the why, like you said in the first summary there, was that there is a requirement and a responsibility on a yoga teacher, I believe, to cultivate their intention, whether it's through a daily meditation or it doesn't even need to be an hour and a half's home practice on your mat. It means coming back to the reason why you're doing what you're doing. And even before you start thinking about your finances of how you're going to start your business or how you do your website or your social media, when I work with clients, for me, I have a four-step approach for starting a business. And
oh, wow.
The intention is the first step. The intention is king. And you don't just do it once and then it's forgotten. It's something you cultivate and you come back to week in, week out, because your business will evolve, you will evolve, and therefore your intention will evolve.
Yeah.
But it will grow with you as you go through your business.
Great. So I really want to hear these four principles you're using in your coaching. But before we do that, you said something interesting as well, that we kind of have different roles, that we are a teacher, a student, and a business owner. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, when we are in another job world, it's easier for us to kind of, you know, keep it separate, because I go to my company, maybe I'm wearing a suit or something.
Absolutely.
Which is not a yoga, which is not yoga pants.
It's a uniform. It's a uniform.
We have a uniform, right? Yeah. We know how to behave there, what the rules are there. And then we leave there, get this uniform off our body and put on the yoga pants and go there. And this is like our leisure time. We go to yoga class to relax. And then we kind of transform this role where we're kind of, you know, not having this other uniform anymore. And we're, everything is, you know, going on in or around the yoga studio, but we kind of have to switch these roles and be 100% in every role good, right? We have to be a good teacher, whatever that means. We have to be a good student or the student we want to be. And we kind of have to be a business owner as well. And I think when we don't have these outer lines, or however you would say that proper in English, these outer things which show us, aha, I'm in this role or I'm in this role.
It's identity. Kind of
identity. Thank you. Then it's so much harder to find this inner identity and stick with it.
Yes.
What is your opinion on that? Do you find that as a challenge as well?
Or I definitely.
The awareness for that, a huge first step.
I think it's definitely a challenge. I wrote a blog post about this actually quite early on in my kind of career as a yoga teacher, about 9-10 months ago. But I will say that for any new teacher out there, or any, you know, teacher who's been teaching for many years, part of the practice is to not be so hard on yourself, because it is tough to switch between teacher, student, business owner, and finding that balance. You think of it as juggling kind of three plates in the air. Mm. It's one might go a little bit lower than the other, or you might drop it completely, but forgive yourself, pick yourself up, add some structure to your week, give yourself the time, allocating it during your week to really be those roles. Mm. But also forgive yourself, because it is challenging and there's got to be a balance. But through structure and, I guess, self-compassion, it totally works out.
Yeah.
As a new teacher, I feel that you get used to it. I feel after 6 to 9 months, maybe even 12 months, you start to get into a little bit of a rhythm. Mm. And you've got to trust that it comes.
Yeah. And probably everybody who is a yoga teacher experience that once you start teaching yoga, kind of your own practice goes a little bit sideways, or maybe even lost.
Yeah, and I'm still a relative baby myself. I mean, I've only been teaching for 12 months, but already I can see I'm a little bit more self-compassionate about those weeks when my home practice isn't as strong. And, you know, I can see that I'm evolving my attitude towards it, but I'm also balancing out a little bit my business time, my student time, and my teaching time.
Yeah, that's good. I always compare it to the three doshas we have in Ayurveda, right? Mm-hmm. These three doshas have to be in their individual balance as well. And of course, sometimes one is a bit higher than the other one. And it's the same with being in these three roles, teacher, student, and business.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's really nice.
Of course, you kind of sit there in the evening and go over your numbers. And the next time, maybe you're on a retreat for yourself to kind of treat yourself. And then you're in the teacher role again. I think that's kind of nice to remember. We all have our individual balance, but all three parts are crucial and essential to kind of evolve as a whole person, a whole being, not only as a teacher or only as a business owner.
The only thing, exactly. And the other thing I'd add to that is that it's also a little bit about self-awareness of those three roles. Where do you ask yourself, maybe where do you have a tendency towards one or the other? Do you prefer the more student role, or do you prefer to do some of the more businessy stuff? Which, to be honest, when I started, because I come from a business background, I was like, oh, marketing, and I got, you know, and then all of a sudden I'm spending all this time and I'm not doing the time on my mat. So it's also about some self-awareness, about knowing where your preferences lie, and maybe watching yourself slightly to see, okay, am I leaning towards something out of a feeling of security? And do I need to maybe reward myself a little bit more for doing something that takes me out of my comfort zone? Like, I don't know, an Excel spreadsheet, for example.
You cannot see Zoe right now, but when she's saying Excel spreadsheet, she's smiling. And I would, oh my God, Excel. I don't want that.
Exactly.
Yeah, what I always find, you know, I call that the knowledge syndrome. I see there are so many yoga teachers who kind of go to another teacher training and another one and another one, because they always have the feeling, I'm not enough. I need to know more before I can even start calling myself a yoga teacher.
And I'm not ready.
I'm not ready. And they are sticking in this role, and they have, I mean, the most amazing knowledge, but they kind of cannot get over themselves out of fear, or the feeling of being not ready to kind of step into the teacher role or even the business owner role. And this is, I think it's a pity because there are so many people who are so well educated. And I remember, I mean, I did a coaching with you and there were so many valuable things you were saying to me. And I mean, I worked in this industry quite a while, but still there were so many points where I was like, yeah, I work with other business coaches, but they couldn't tell me that because they don't know exactly or very specific how the yoga industry or the yoga business is working.
Yes, and also even down to understanding how you may need to structure your day and the fact that you're being pulled in all these different directions, for sure. It's that, and that's one of the reasons why I really love working with yoga teachers or health coaches, because I get it and I believe in what they're doing. Yeah. And hopefully I can help with my business experience and knowledge. So
Great. Definitely. And you kind of created a 4-step coaching process.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the right term?
A 4-step it's a four-month private coaching. But it's also I'm producing content as well. There's content on my website where you can download a free guide about it. But it's the fundamental business fundamentals, and it's 4 steps.
Let us know more about it.
The first step is intention. So it's getting to know your why. What is your why? And for that, it's using self-reflection tools, meditation tools, morning pages, writing, anything that maybe us yoga teachers are quite familiar with as techniques to kind of really connect, get everything out from your head onto paper. Why is it that I'm doing what I'm doing? Why is it important for me? Why is it important for my student? Why is it important for the world? And that comes first, baseline.
Yeah.
And then the second month is mindful money, because intention is baseline, but as I said before, I believe in the need for financial stability, but also financial knowledge, knowing where you stand with your finances, because that will be fundamental to help your business sustain, grow, evolve. And I think sometimes people need a little help in hand to look at their finances, to understand their finances, and to know what it all means, and the number of classes they should be looking to teach to earn certain things, just these sorts of things. And the third month or the third step is about communicating your mission. So you know your why, you have an understanding of your financial position, and then it's really about communication through whether it's a website, a Facebook page, other social media tools. And that's where we would work together to really help them build the fundamentals. So I'm not talking anything massively elaborate. We're talking about making a start.
Mm-hmm.
Because another one of my favorite quotes, which I have to tell myself on a pretty much regular basis because of my perfectionist tendencies, is the quote, progress over perfection.
Yeah.
And I think, especially when it comes to starting out as a yoga teacher, a lot of the hurdles that I feel people have is that I can't start yet because I don't have a beautiful website.
Oh,
I can't start yet because I don't have this certificate.
Yeah.
It's more, let's start. Let's just make it start. It's going to be awesome.
Go for it, yeah.
And then the fourth and final one for the fundamentals, but of course there's more to come and more to go deeper, is about finding your people. So it's not even necessarily looking that far afield, maybe friends, neighbors, colleagues, people you used to go to school with, anyone from any of your social media, just reaching out to them and seeing if you can start your mission a little close to home.
Yeah.
That's the 4 steps. And I think the main thing is really, I believe in momentum. You take one little step and then the second comes and then the third. And then before you know it, you're on the 20th and this kind of momentum builds. And that's why the first few steps are just so important to get started.
Yeah. I love it. So it's intention, the mindful money, where's our money coming from? Where's it flowing? Maybe also, why do we want to have it?
Yes.
The communicating your mission and finding your people. So 4 very essential steps, basically for kind of, would say, every business you start, right?
Yes, exactly.
Especially for the yoga scene. I love that. One question I want to add to that, because you all already have this kind of these words in your fundamentals here is mindful money. Mm-hmm. I talked about that in my last yogi special episode, but I just want to hear your opinion. I mean, I hear it so often, oh, we shouldn't earn money with yoga. Earning money with yoga is not spiritual and stuff like that. And I mean, you already said, like, we have to be financially stable to be able to share. Mm-hmm. But what is your opinion on that? Earning money with or through yoga is not spiritual.
There's so many differences of opinions on this. This is a fascinating topic, but I think of my own experience as a student, and I needed yoga as much as the next person. You know, 5-6 years ago, very stressful corporate career, anxiety, you know, needing time to decompress. And I was more than happy, first of all, to pay someone who was experienced to give me the knowledge to help me learn, because I value that knowledge they have. And that's what I believe as yoga teachers, we have knowledge, we have a passion, and there are many, many people out there who don't know these things and they need help, and they are more than prepared to pay for your time to learn something that will give them value in their lives. And that's more from the student teacher interaction. Mm-hmm. People are happy and willing to, you know, give an exchange, value for money or value for trade or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And on the other side, I think we have to be realistic about the world that we live in. And money is an energy. Money is something that buys us food, something that puts a roof over our heads. Money is also the thing that allows you to buy gifts or be generous with your friends and family. And that brings joy. This is the society we live in. And I think if you have something to share, comes back to, if you have something to give, if you have something that can help someone, you shouldn't be ashamed that you're trading for it, because yeah, your knowledge has value.
Yeah. So we're totally on the same page.
Yes. I suspected that would be the case.
I mean, you know, I have my group coaching programs for yogis as well, where we talk about topics like that. And I'm always saying money is just the energy currency we're using in this modern world. I mean, I would be happy not to charge for my services if we would all live in an ashram and somebody is for exchange preparing the food, or I can sleep there or have further education. But we are just living in a world where we all chose to have money as the energy exchange we want to use for kind of everything, right?
So
money is not bad or good. It's whatever we kind of quality we give to it, right?
Yeah, so. Yeah, it's a flow between people, value, yeah, and exchange. Yeah. But I'm really open and love the idea. One of my yoga teachers does it. He sometimes teaches classes for trade. That's another way that people can balance things out. Maybe you'd like to have, I don't know, a new logo design for your business.
Exactly.
Give a couple of private classes to a graphic designer.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great. You're exchanging energy in the same way.
Yeah.
So you can be inventive as well about how you trade and exchange.
Yeah, of course. Mm. That's a very good idea. Okay, so thank you so much for all these very, very great tips we probably can all use, whether we're starting out or we are already a few years in this kind of business, because I find it so fascinating that there are so many yoga teacher trainings out there, but I basically see none of them having kind of the business side somehow integrated in their training course. So this is kind of something I think we all need a little bit more education. And I can just, you know, say once again, I love working with you on these topics. I think there are still so many more topics we could talk about, and maybe we can do that in a few further coaching sessions together. And where do people find you, you know, if they are interested in the things you were talking about, these kind of coaching experiences or your blog posts, where do we find you?
My website is zoelavenderstewart.com, and on there you've got my coaching programs, but also some free content, obviously blogs, blog posts, and also a free ebook on going into a little bit more detail about those four steps that we talked about. And also I'm on Instagram and Facebook, of course. So connect with me in any way you fancy.
Okay, we definitely put that in the show notes that everybody can have a sneak peek there or connect with you. Is there anything you would like to add before we wrap this interview up?
No, not particularly, only that there can be fear from yoga teachers on how to even start. And I think that's where the only thing I just want to emphasize is that one little step, it doesn't need to be huge or grand, it doesn't need to be 100% perfect, but one little step, teach your first class, teach your first private. I mean, you'll feel the momentum boost you into the next thing, and it's amazing. Yeah. So do it. The world needs yoga.
Yes. And thank you so much. I want to kind of end with a quote here I actually heard from you, which kind of is always sticking in my head now. I hope I recall it right. It's, there's still more people out there in the world who need healing than we have healers.
So yes.
And yogis are so needed.
Yes. I heard that from Gabriella Bernstein, and that is so, so true. Yeah, absolutely. I love that quote.
Okay, thank you so much, Zoe, for taking the time and sharing your huge knowledge on business and yoga with us. Thank you so, so much.
Thank you, Jana.